Midnight Music.
Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, we're still waiting on the White Rabbit to show itself. So until then, we might as well get a little extreme. We preview what is arguably the most extreme Extreme Rules event of all time. And if you don't believe, things are getting extreme, not only in the world of wrestling, but around the world in general. Tom Brady is about to leave his supermodel wife because he wants to play more football. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that extreme time of year where we go through extreme rules, and it's always extreme in Philadelphia, episode number 311 of Kings of the Rings podcast, exclusively on WrestleLadic Radio, and it starts right now. I'm so glad Aaron Judge broke that fucking fake record, so now we can move on.
Yeah, we can finally. Did you see Portnoy kind of go off on it?
No, I didn't.
It was pretty funny. Really? You're not a Barstool guy.
I mean, I am, but like, I'm not a hardcore Barstool guy.
That's fair. It came across my feed, and he's like, "Yes, that's a Boston guy. Like, he's the one being pulled down the plate. It's a fake record.
Shut up. All right, whatever. Shut up, Fortnite. Anywho, folks, what's going on, folks? Welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 311. It's always extreme in Philadelphia. Our Extreme Rules preview show. I'm your host, King Ricky Rose, along with Willie T and DK Murphy. We're going to get all extreme all the time this episode, because this is probably the greatest Extreme Rules card we have ever had, because there's actually Extreme Rules for an Extreme Rules event. But before we get into all of that, Willie T, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, dude. It's been raining for like 4 days straight here in Jersey/New York, but that didn't stop us from going pumpkin picking this past weekend.
I saw those pictures, you weirdo.
They were so cute.
It was so adorable, dude. I've never seen a white pumpkin before, so I immediately took one.
Are you kidding?
So Jazz and I have a contest. We've each got two pumpkins. Which pumpkin can last the longest? And I'm putting money on this white pumpkin because the stem on my other one broke. That one's fucked. Let's just say that. But Kay Murphy, what is your favorite color pumpkin?
I'm classic. I like a good orange pumpkin.
Amazing.
After seeing Lizzo realizes that it is bad bitch o'clock, thick 30. That is correct.
Thick 30. I love that.
Thick 30 is one of my favorite new terms, to be honest with you.
Do I like noon 30? I say noon 30, everyone goes, ooh, I've never heard that before. Sounds exotic.
I would like to point out that going to see Lizzo was a religious experience, and everyone should go, because you will leave feeling better about yourself and your life. Yeah, I'm ready to talk about wrestling. I actually watched wrestling this week. And I didn't watch Dynamite because it wasn't working on my computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I went on the website and like it wasn't coming up. It was only showing me episodes from April, and I'm like, I don't have time to deal with this. So I watched Rampage and called it a day.
Fair enough. I think there's a little bit of controversy between Sammy Guevara and Andrade.
Yeah, what the
lately.
Fuck is going on there? It's like, dude,
I don't know.
They're like actually fighting.
Like, are they? I don't know if they're feuding on TV or if this is just like.
I thought it was a shoot.
It was a shoot. Like, bro, you can't be doing that, man.
I think apparently it was a shoot. They were supposed to have a match on Rampage, but now that got canceled.
Yeah, I wonder why. TK, control your locker room for fuck's sake.
There is, before we started, I saw a video of, I don't know how it got out, but there's a video of Sammy Guevara trying out at the PC. And you know how they make him do, huh?
From when?
This is probably from years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah. No, I know. I think it was probably 2018.
Yeah, years ago, it was when Lacey Evans was like a fresh recruit or something, like just got into the PC herself, and so she's helping out with the tryouts and stuff. And so they're pretty militant on their trials, so they make you do roles and everything. And before you do any move, you have to say your name and then like your number, and then do whatever maneuver it is. So he starts to do a roll from the corner. He's just like, Sammy Guevara, number 35, and does his roll. It's a pretty shitty roll, to be honest with you. And Macy's like, I can't hear you. you know, just to kind of, you know, up the enthusiasm, so he has to get back and do it again. And he goes, Sammy Guevara, number 35, baby, and does a roll again. And so the camera pans to Macy, and they're like, how do you feel? Like, he just called you baby. He's like, yeah, he just called me baby. Well, it's not going to fly, because he can't do a roll worth a damn anyways. So Sammy's just getting hit from all the places, but maybe Sammy's just an asshole.
He plays a heel on TV. Live the gimmick, baby.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Hi, Mr. French. Welcome to joining us. Welcome to everybody else who is joining us live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, wherever you are at in the world. Thank you for joining us for Kings of Rings podcast. We're going to talk about Extreme Rules. And while, before we do that, make sure you're leaving a like, or you're sharing this, or you're subscribing to our channels at KOTR_podcast. It really helps us out with followers and algorithms, and helps us to provide you with all of this awesome free content. The links to all of our stuff are in the description below, including links to some of our fantastic merchandise, which I so happen to be wearing right now. But before we get into all of the Extreme Rules stuff, we do have to talk about the life and times of one of the most influential people in the history of pro wrestling, and that is Antonio Inoki. If you don't know who Antonio Inoki is, I'm sorry, you're probably not a wrestling fan. But Antonio Inoki will go down in history, not only as being one of the biggest influences ever, but he is the founder of the of every Mark's favorite foreign wrestling organization, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Antonio Inoki is also known for having a legendary match with the late great Muhammad Ali, which kind of blurred the lines between boxing and wrestling, which ended up being one of the foundations and the sparks for what we now know as MMA style fighting and UFC. So Antonio Inoki is a big influence. He had gotten to the WWE Hall of Fame, I believe, before he passed, which is a big deal. He was one of the most respected people in all of wrestling history, to be honest with you. And it was unfortunate that he passed. I know SmackDown did air the news, but he had passed away, I think, that Friday morning. So it was a little bit of a sad day in the wrestling world. Will Tereshock?
Yeah, I don't really know much about the guy. So, you know, about T's and P's, baby.
Yeah. Kay Murphy, as a...
I don't have that map anymore, by the way.
Yeah, anyway, Kay Murphy, as as a person who used to watch NJPW pretty regularly, what did you know about Antonio Inoki during his lifetime?
I respectfully did not know a lot about him either, but I do remember watching the Muhammad Ali match when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, internet.
Hey, you had something, Kay, what'd you get?
Yeah, I thought I had more, but I like genuinely, you know. Rest in peace. It sucks. Sad day for wrestling. Marks are
sad. Yeah. All right. So do you guys know that video that's out there, that one guy standing in the ring and all these people are always I want to say, I guess people from Asia are lining up to get smacked by this guy in the wrestling ring?
That's him.
Has a fact.
The guy doing the smacking is Antonio Inoki.
Oh, that's fine.
Taquan says Inoki's an unofficial WWE champion. He beat Backlund in Japan, but the reign went unrecognized.
Yeah, like I could have beat Bob Backlund at that
point. Bob Backlund had the reign for like almost 5 years as champ. Antonio Inoki, if you watch like the second season of Dark Side of the Ring, they do talk about Antonio Inoki bringing a bunch of wrestlers into North Korea, because I believe he is.
Oh, collision in Korea?
Yeah, he did the Collision in Korea, which allegedly is the largest pro wrestling event ever put on, bigger than the famed WrestleMania 32 in terms of people in attendance. Forced attendance, nonetheless.
But still attendance.
He was able to kind of bridge that gap, because I believe he is part Korean, or he was trained by somebody who was from North Korea. So he was big in politics on that side of the world, as well as wrestling as his background. Like I said, he had a friendship with Muhammad Ali, which is pretty crazy.
That's pretty nuts.
And like Taquanton also mentioned, for the first time ever on TV during SmackDown by Corey Graves, Antonio Inoki, shown here in this photo, he is the first ever Japanese-born WWE World Heavyweight Champion, although the reign has never officially been recognized by WWE.
What is that?
I have no clue, but it did happen.
I mean, they do the, I think they, back in the day, they would do these things on the house shows. Just to kind of like, just to pop the crowd.
Good faith stuff, you know, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but it didn't actually count because it was never like televised. Like the only people who knew were in that room. And then like, he would drop it the next day or like later that night even.
It was like, what was it? Was it the Rockers that won like the tag team titles on a house show, but something screwed up and so they never aired it, so it didn't happen?
Probably. Sounds like something the Rockers
like that. You know, but it is kind of a big deal, like, because Antonio Inoki had such a good rapport with a lot of the American wrestlers, he was able, when he started New Japan, to bring over a bunch of foreign wrestlers. Hulk Hogan has been in New Japan. Brock Lesnar has been in New Japan. MVP. AJ Styles got a start in New Japan. The entire Bullet Club thing.
Yeah, Finn Balor.
And Finn Balor got big in New Japan. Shinsuke Nakamura, obviously.
No, not so, Shinsuke, you're lying.
Yeah, he's from Germany.
He's from Germany.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but like you but if you think about it, without Antonio Inoki, you don't have any of these things happen. So he is a major player in the history of pro wrestling from a global perspective. And it is a sad loss for the wrestling world, but hopefully his inventions like New Japan will continue on and they'll continue to produce a lot of legendary and great talent like it already has. So once again, RIP to Antonio Inoki. Well, let's move on to Extreme Rules. The most extreme of the Extreme Rules that I think we've ever had, where literally every single match on this card is some sort of wild or extreme gimmick, and I'm really happy to get to talk about it. So let's start talking about it with the first match, which I believe will probably be the main event on the card. We have the only Extreme Rules match on the card in and of itself. It is the SmackDown Women's Champion, Liv Morgan, defending her title in an Extreme Rules match against Ronda Rousey, a.k.a. the baddest bitch on the planet. Honestly, this is a toss-up. Liv has kind of gotten better. I think the Extreme Rules gimmick kind of fits her. I think it brings out a little bit more of her natural personality. But then again, Ronda Rousey is an absolute fucking killer. And now you're going to give her weapons so she can kill somebody with. And so I don't know who's going to take this. So we're going to defer to Will. Who do you got?
Dude, you see Liv tweet about not being on the poster?
Did she really?
It was really funny. She's like, you can keep your shitty poster. I didn't want to be on it anyway. Because Ronda's on the poster. She's like, you know, I'm the champion, right?
Yeah, Ronda's the face of the Extreme Rules banner. That's correct.
Yeah. So I do agree that probably main eventing. Liv, I think, definitely is more believable. That being said, it's hard to not put money on Ronda Rousey. You know, she is a heel now and she's the bigger star. I have a feeling Charlotte's going to come back relatively soon. But then again, Charlotte's a good heel. So I don't know. This is a toss up for me, but I'm going to put my money on Ronda.
Kay Murphy.
I also kind of think it's going to be Ronda Rousey, but I want Liv Morgan to win because I think the internet might melt if Liv Morgan wins again.
When you mean internet, do you mean Slack?
No, I mean like
all the people of the internet that is don't... Slack.
No, not the internet that wants to fuck Liv Morgan, the internet that hates Liv Morgan.
I feel like most of the internet wants to fuck Liv Morgan though.
I would have to agree with that.
I have not seen this internet that's not like Liv Morgan. The only people I really see is Ricky and I.
I've seen a lot of like tweets that like are just like disparaging against Liv about how she's probably a transitional champion and that like she kind of sucks.
Oh yeah, that was us.
That was us. That's very much us.
No, I agree with that, but like not you guys. Other people say these things. It's not just us.
Yeah. I mean, I do continue to doubt Liv Morgan, and she does continue to prove me wrong, and I'm glad to be proved wrong, but this time, I'm sticking to my guns. It's like last time, I think I'm right. Give it to Ronnie.
I wouldn't be surprised if Liv Morgan won, but, like, I don't know. I don't like either of them, so I don't give a shit about this match.
Well, you're gonna have to. So here's the breakdown.
I like Liv Morgan as like a person, but like I am not invested in her as a wrestler at all.
You know, it was her documentary. I was just like, wow, you were just you have no personality.
You are aware that was like several years ago at this point now, right?
I know, but still, that's what made me not like her. It's like you just have the personality of a tissue, a used tissue.
That's mean. Yeah, what did the tissue ever do to you?
Nothing, nothing. It's just I just don't think she's a great personality. Her in-ring work is definitely better. I think this is a good match for her to kind of show her mean side and be aggressive and use a kendo stick. That's going to be fun. The match is probably going to be very entertaining. Ronda's going to carry her. Liv will hold her own, but I just don't get Liv Morgan. She's very attractive. She's very pretty.
She's super pretty.
And her hard work has definitely paid off. She works hard. She puts a lot of effort in. She's a B-plus player. She's everything people said. She's everything the authorities said about Daniel Bryan, except they're right. Sorry. If you love Liv Morgan, hey man, I hope she wins. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Liv the benefit of the doubt here. I was shocked when she beat Ronda the first time. It could be just one of those things where Ronda's gonna do her best to get Liv over. This might be what Ronda has been assigned to do, just like Seth was assigned to get Cody over when he came back in to the fold in WWE. This might be Ronda's assignment. If Ronda is assigned to do this and it's successful, then props to her. She did her fucking job. There's something about after I saw Liv kind of start using weapons on Lacey Evans and doing the flying senton from the top rope through the table on Lacey, that she looks so natural and so comfortable in that type of gimmicky match. Because there are some wrestlers out there who can excel in a natural one-on-one match, and they have to excel by using some sort of gimmicks or some sort of wacky rules, and Liv might be that type of wrestler. In addition, I think this might be one of the only matches that gets blood. If so, bloody Liv beating Ronda works perfectly for her.
Yeah, we mentioned that last week. I still 100%
say bloody that. I think bloody Liv beating Ronda is a great look to end Extreme Rules. I think Liv steals this one. That's what I'm gonna go with Liv Morgan.
Okay. If she does win, I want a clean, no shenanigans, not a roll up, a definitive bitch. I just made you my bitch. But it's like okay, say Liv wins, right?
Okay.
Who does she face next?
It's gotta be Charlotte. It's gotta be returning Charlotte.
In that case, yeah. And if Ronda wins, who can she face next? Pretty much anybody.
Yeah. She'll have a load of people to go up with.
Saudi Arabia's next.
So you're going to want a big name.
Well, that's what I wonder. Has Ronda fought in Saudi Arabia?
I want to. Yes, she did. Yes, because, all right, she came out with her Olympic attire.
That's right.
Remember, she had to be fully, like, clothed, so she came in her Olympic judo gear.
That's right.
I think it's not the match she did with, like, a hand behind her back.
When the fuck was that?
Her... last year, maybe?
Who did she wrestle with the hand? Let me give that a goog.
Yeah, she wrestled with somebody. While you're Googling that, let's move on to the next match on in our order right now. The Fight Pit match, the match that they have hyped up perfectly. For this, we have Seth Rollins versus Matt Riddle for the umpteen time, but the rivalry just keeps on getting better. And as first reported late, I think Friday night, like they reported this at midnight, was the fact that UFC legend, the first ever double champ, correct me if I'm wrong, Will, on that, Daniel Cormier, DC, will be the special referee, special enforcer for this Fight Pit match. Another working of UFC and WWE kind of crossing paths. As anybody who knows who's a UFC fan, Daniel Cormier has been trying his damnedest to stop announcing matches and somehow get into the WWE. And he's finally found his gateway. I'm interested to see how that goes out. Daniel Cormier is still a name in UFC, still a legendary name in UFC. He still kind of can bring people over. He still has that attraction. I'm honestly very excited for this match. I don't know where the hell you place this on this card. This card is ridiculous with gimmick matches.
Well, you are correct. Really good. DC was a double champ. He was light heavyweight and heavyweight champion, which is crazy because he's a little meatball.
Was he the first double champ?
I don't think so. McGregor was a double champ before him, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a UFC historian, so I'm not 100% sure. I could give that a goog too. By the way, Ronda was in a tag match with Naomi. They got Charlotte and Sonya at Elimination Chamber last year. DC also still a huge name in UFC. He's a legend, one of the greatest to ever do it. Couldn't beat John Jones, which is great. He's currently a commentator, an excellent commentator at that.
I've been a commentator for a while. He does make the events a lot easier to understand for somebody who doesn't know UFC.
Him and Rogan do a great job at explaining what's going on, and John Anik is the great play-by-play guy. And the three of them together, the three bald dudes are together, are excellent. They are the three of them are really good at commentary together. I think DC would be an excellent commentator for WWE as well.
I think so too.
I think him and Corey Graves would go at it. But I would love to see him wrestle. Did he get physical in the match?
Well, we have some predictions here down here in our comments section. Fred says Riddle wins. Seth blames Cormier and there's your Saudi match, or Brock versus Cormier at Saudi.
Brock versus Cormier could happen eventually because, you know, when DC won the belt, Brock came into the UFC octagon with a piece of paper and said he's a paper champ. And that actual fight never happens.
Yeah.
So I could see that match happening. You know, Brock needs someone to go up against, and I think DC would be interesting, even though the size difference.
How quickly would that turn to a shoot?
I don't think so. I think both of them are professional enough, and I don't think there's any bad blood there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see DC just, like, give Seth a suplex, and that's the match. I'd love to see it. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so if Riddle per se is going to finally get his comeuppance on Seth Rollins, and I think Cormier versus Seth in Saudi sounds beautiful, absolutely beautiful to do. Although I can't root for Riddle on this, it's because Seth has owned him on the mic every time they face off.
Oh, yeah. Like on Raw, Seth was just like, your kids, Riddle. Oh, ha, 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 ha. You can't hit me. The breath right in his face. Like, Riddle's comeback is like, so bro, like, I know you just dunked on my kids, my family, but like, when's the last time you had a belt? Right, bro? Like, I got him, right, guys? It's just like, oh my God.
Literally, Seth going on being like, oh wait, you're not allowed to see your kids. Was the highlight of Raw for me.
I mean,
it's pretty fucking nuts.
Is he not allowed to see his kids?
I heard, like, he wasn't allowed to.
Damn, that's good enough for me. that's rough.
Yeah, he cheated on his wife. But I mean,
yeah, with Candy Cartwright and a bunch of other women, I think.
I think a court order would need to keep it from his kids, though. Unless he's just agreeing to it.
Well, it would still have to be in court.
Right. Unless they're still going through litigation for, like, custody or whatever.
There could be temporary custody given to the mom until litigation, because you know how long litigation happens.
And he's constantly on the road. So
yeah, so that makes sense.
And his kids are probably in school.
Yeah, it would go to the mom.
I know nothing about Matt Riddle's personal life with his kids, but I'm assuming he doesn't have joint custody right now.
Yeah, I would assume so as well. But back to the match, I'm going to go with Seth Rollins.
As I think Seth Rollins 1,000% deserves this W, but I'm going to go with Matt Riddle.
I'm going with Sethy.
Sethy is because of what he dressed like this Monday on Raw. Did you love the outfit?
I liked the outfit. It was cute. But I don't know. I just feel like he's like so hot right now.
And like, dude, he's been going on some shoot interviews too, which have been really good.
Has he?
Yeah, Seth Rollins is just like, yeah, I kind of feel like I'm number two fiddle to Roman Reigns. And it's just like, I kind of think it's unfair. And like, I really didn't like putting Cody Rhodes over. He's like, they used me to boost up Cody. And I'm like, yeah, duh.
I read that comment, but it's from what I read, it seemed more positive. That he was okay with boosting up Cody because Cody needed to rub and not him.
I think like I didn't see the interview. I'm just going off what I read as well. But I took it as he's like, they used me to bump him as kind of just like, well, I've been here forever, you know, like.
Yeah.
But I don't think it. I don't think it's a knock on Cody. It's kind of like a frustration that he wants to be the top guy. Like he doesn't like being number two, and now that he had to bump up Cody, he feels like number three, which I get the competitive nature. And then you see your wife being number one, like there's the competitive nature in him as a natural competitor. So like I understand it. I understand his frustration, but there's nothing you can really do about that, Seth. To be honest.
Yeah, listen, to me, he's like 1-1A at this point because, yeah. I mean, Roman's the definitive number one, but Roman's not there all the time. So Seth becomes one of the more entertaining characters week in and week out.
Yeah, dude, you're Rock to the Austin. Like,
yeah.
You are. It's a good place to be. He is fucking amazing. And when Roman's not there, he is like, right now, Seth's number one in WWE, for sure.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Roman's not so there Roman all the time. Comes back. And Seth is. So yeah, until Roman comes back.
Yeah. When Roman comes back, he goes. Goes back into his right place, but yeah.
And Seth needs that belt again for sure.
To solidify this run of his character, absolutely, yes. And that's why, which I should have thought this better because my smart mind would have booked this. Seth takes the loss to Riddle because he's facing Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship Monday on Raw on the season premiere. And what better way to do a season premiere than have a title change?
Dude, season premieres are such bullshit. I hate them. I hate that they do these. Sorry, it's the season premiere. Randy Orton kicking Chris Jericho out of WWE for no reason.
Yeah, all TV mumbo jumbo to get you to watch.
But wasn't last season premiere like last January? Like, when are these seasons?
Well, because there's like three seasons. Like, there's like summer, winter, and fall for TV.
Well, like TV goes into sweeps in May and September.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you're right. Like prime time, like regular, like 24, as an example, had a fall and a spring season.
Yeah,
and they take a few week break in the winter. Like it would start in September, go to like January or February, then come back in April, and finish up.
Yeah.
Normal.
So
then we're looking at it that way.
Yeah.
And especially because they're on Fox now, like Fox does operate on a fall and spring kind of seasonal lineup.
I mean, but USA is doing the same thing.
Continuity.
Well, yeah. what else does USA Network have? Reruns of Burn Notice? Like, come on now.
Literally.
No, they also have SVU reruns all the time.
And Monk? They still show Monk?
That might be strictly the Peacock. Yeah. So season premiere is good. I hope for the season premiere, as we kind of tangent a little bit, we sideburn real quick. I hope for the season premiere, because I saw this and I kind of agree with the statement from, I think, one of the people I follow on wrestling Twitter. I hope now that H is in charge that we get different, like the shows begin to start looking different, not just in roster, but aesthetically as well. I don't need my Raw, my SmackDown looking exactly fucking the same.
Well, you know why they just do that, right?
Color. It's a money saver.
It's money. Yeah, the LEDs save them so much money. I think Zarian reported that they are tweaking it a little bit.
But I just want a little bit of a tweak in either one of the show's looks.
Yeah. We might be getting new belts, too.
I heard the belt rumor, but I'll believe it when I see it.
I agree. I think it's still good. The big WWE is still going to be a focal point. But it's going to be just tweaked a little bit. Yeah, it's like branding. At this point, it's just branding.
I mean, when they debuted that new, like, more straight line W belt, it's perfect branding. They use it for fucking everything.
And it's genius. Like, you see it everywhere.
You see it everywhere. Actually, well, I have to send you a link. I've been holding back but sending you this link. But they made a custom special edition New York Yankees themed championship belt.
I think I might have seen it.
It's fucking beautiful, but I am not buying it.
You see Rikishi made one for the Bloodline?
Did he?
Really? It's just We the Ones. It's just on Giant Ted, but it looks gorgeous. Rikishi had it made. I saw it on Twitter the other day.
Nice. That's fucking amazing. Does it include Sami Zayn's face as like one of the side plates?
I don't think so. It should, though.
Oh my god. Honestly, Sammy might be number one in wrestling right now because Sammy is
my number one
so fucking entertaining right now.
Sammy is just capitalizing on an opportunity.
As well he should.
And good for him.
As well he should. Let's move on to the other championship, other singles championship match. That's the other championship match going on.
Ladder match, baby.
We have a ladder match, folks. Bianca Belair, the EST of WWE, the Raw Women's Champion, defending her title against a returning Bayley, the leader of Damage Control, who already have the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Now, this match really jumped up for me after watching the contract signing on Raw, which Bayley did a fantastic promo about her character change, and Bianca's rebuttal was the best I have ever heard her. And it did wonders for building this story about why they are fighting. And I thought it was fucking brilliant. Also, Bailey's heel work is unbelievable. She's essentially cursed out Izzy on Twitter, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that tiny ass sign.
Well, that wasn't Izzy. But
that was another kid.
Yeah, that was another kid. But be it as it may, I could easily see Bayley leaving Philly with that belt and having Damage Control literally run the entire division with having those three belts. However, just based on rule of opposite momentum and Ricky's rules of wrestling, Bayley and Damage Control looked strong at the end of Raw. Bianca is winning on Saturday. Will.
I agree. I think Bianca is still at the top of her game. There's no reason to take it off of her, because what else would she do without this belt? Where does she go? Bayley, this feud can still continue, and Bayley still has shenanigans with the rest of Damage Control, so Bayley doesn't necessarily need the belt, in my opinion. Although, I do love her tummy. I love how Bayley's tummy is kind of sticks out all over her pants. I can't keep my eyes off her tummy. I love Bayley.
Of all the places to admire Bayley, you admire the tummy.
Bayley, she also got that cake. Don't get me wrong. And she hides them titties really well. She actually has knockers, but she hides them really well. Bayley has cannons.
Oh yeah. And really tiny feet.
I have a huge crush. I've always had a huge crush on Bayley. Bayley has always been one of my boos.
I feel you on that. So you think Bianca?
Yeah, I think Bianca. I do.
Yeah. Mix Murphy, what do you got here?
I also think Bianca.
I just hate her hair.
Wrestling.
What'd you say?
Sorry, I also think it's Bianca because of Ricky's Rules of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Literally the shot of them on the ladder on Raw, I'm like, okay, you're not winning.
Which is a great shot, by the way. Like, that's a great shot.
Should have done it on the pay-per-view.
I think that this feud's going to go on for a little while longer, because Bianca's had the title for how long now? A couple months?
No, she's had it since she beat Becky at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, she's had it for a while.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she won it again. She just ran it back and did it again.
Yeah, because she said in her rebuttal to Bayley's, like, you think you're the first one to run up on me at SummerSlam? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, good one. Good one, Bianca. Girl.
That drives me fucking crazy. I hope she stops doing that.
It's never going to happen. Women love Bianca Belair.
Jazz fucking loves Bianca. Like, she gets so into wrestling. I'm like, Jazz, it's fake. She's like, shut up, it's Bianca.
Listen, Kavita, one of our patrons and one of our fans of the show, she also loves Bianca Belair. Only time I've seen her clap during a wrestling match, like, oh my god, Bianca won. I mean,
she's so likable. Bianca is incredibly likable, to the point where, like, I think she'd be a phenomenal heel, but they probably shouldn't ever do it.
Yeah, no.
I want her and Montez to go heel so bad.
Oh my God.
I want that sex tape so bad.
Wait, what?
Two super athletes.
Yeah, I want that sex tape.
Oh my God! Here's the shame with the potential of this match. They have lauded this as the first ever. She wasn't really a heel in NXT.
What well, yes, to say, Fritz? I don't remember that. She might have been heelish, but she didn't have like a run heel. As a heel.
Yeah, she didn't have a heel run.
She was heelish in NXT, but like she wasn't like main female heel in NXT.
Yeah, she wasn't pushed as a heel.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They have lauded this, and rightfully so, as another step in the women's evolution, where it's the first ever singles, it's the first ever singles ladder match for title. For women, yes. Because the only time they've had women in a ladder match was during the Money in the Bank match.
Multi-woman. Yeah, I like how my voice is cracked there, too. Really? That's how shocked I was. I went back to 13 years old.
Yeah, and so...
That's
and
what surprising.
They have them ladder match, like Beth Phoenix at a ladder match, but that was in like OVW. I've seen that match. It's actually really good because it's Beth fucking Phoenix. It's the first time ever on WWE, on live WWE programming, that they're going to do this. And what's a shame about this is that I know that Damage Control and potentially Asuka and Bliss are going to get involved and create shenanigans. What I would love to see, even though it's not going to happen, I would love to see just Bayley and Bianca create a piece of art without any distractions.
I agree. I 1,000% agree. Keep the ladders to a minimum. No more than 3 ladders.
Sure.
Because I hate it when there's too many. I hate when the ring's surrounded by ladders and I use all of them. It just... I just do like... The minimalistic part of a good ladder match tells a better story.
It forces you to be creative.
Exactly. And remember, Ricky, this is leading to a War Games. It's going to be Team Bianca versus Team Bayley. So who's so you got Asuka, Bliss, Bianca. Who are the other two? You got Damage Control. Who are the other two?
Oof. That's
a great question.
I don't know. So here's my fanboy coming like out.
I think Rhea would be on Team Bayley. Rhea and if Charlotte came back, maybe Charlotte.
Charlotte's going nowhere near that.
I think Charlotte's on SmackDown too, I believe.
Yeah, I think Candace gets put on Team Bianca.
I would agree with that.
Are War Games technically 4v4? No, Taekwondo's right. It's 4v4. So I thought it was 5v5. My bad. So yeah.
No, 5v5 would take forever.
I think Rhea and then Candace would be excellent additions to both of those teams.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a match.
I feel like they've been teasing it because Dancers have been making fun of Candace like the new girl on the block.
Yeah.
Type thing every time they have a backstage.
If she turns heel and gets the
Oh, Poison Pixie Candace again?
Ah, I cracked again. What's wrong with me tonight?
But yeah, here's the fanboy in me, because for a second I had this idea, and Kay, you might have had the same idea as me, is that I watched Damage Control literally put damage to Asuka and Bliss to the point where I was like, oh, they may not show up on Philly, and Bianca's going to need backup. And I was like, who the fuck would be available to surprise the crowd?
I wonder who you are picking.
I have no clue who I would pick, except for a boss in a glow.
Yeah.
Dude, she changed her Twitter handle. Right? It's over.
Like... So did Big E, but he's still part of it.
Nah, dude, he's fired too. He quit.
Yeah,
dude, he comes back, hits the big ending on Bayley.
Like unscripted out of nowhere.
Yeah. It's like, bro, what are you doing here? <I'm> crazy.
He's making more public appearances, and he just started his own TikTok, which I'm very excited for, a Big E TikTok.
Good. I'm glad Big E's able to do things again.
I am. He did a college sports thing on Fox last week. So
amazing. Him and McAfee doing College Game Day. My God.
You know, McAfee is on ESPN. Big E did it for Fox.
The Fox? Okay.
Fox sounds like Big at Noon. McAfee's doing Game Day on his own. McAfee's amazing on Game Day, by the way.
Dude, McAfee's just the best, dude. Like, yeah. he's excellent. Everything about him is just excellent. Who would have thought a punter would be so amazing?
A fucking punter of all people. But let's move on to a match that could also steal the show here. We have Edge versus Finn Balor in what is essentially a dream match of dream matches.
Hell yeah.
It's an I quit match. So let's go through what we have right now. We already talked about an Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules. Makes sense. We have a ladder match that's kind of wild. And now we have an I quit match all in the same night.
And a fight pit. Not even a lion's den, a fight pit.
And a fight pit. Sorry, yeah, we had a fight pit as well. All in the same night, and now we're up to the I quit match. Like, the I quit match is the fourth match we've talked about tonight. Okay.
Yeah, dude, how do you book this card?
I don't know.
Start with the women, end with the women, and the rest is kind of who gives a fuck. Like, ladder match is a great way to kick off the show, man. Always.
Yeah. All right. Here's what I think you do. I think you're gonna have to bookend the championship matches, which is fine. And I think square in the middle is either this fight pit or this I quit match.
Yeah.
Like somewhere, because so you do ladder match, strap match, Donnybrook. No.
What?
That's a 6-man tag between Imperium and Brawl and Bruce, which we'll get to at the end.
Donnybrook?
It's just an anything goes match. Ireland? Yeah, Donnybrook just means a giant fight.
Interesting.
I think you do ladder, you need to cool down with a strap, and then you got to either do fight pit or I quit. Oh my God. And that's the hard one, because two of these, you're going to go back to back, or they're going to go, like, one's going to be a toilet break match. There's only 6 matches that we know of so far.
I would probably do the I quit match.
I quit and then fight pit?
I would do the I quit, then the 6-man tag, then the fight pit, then the extreme rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So if we're looking at, let me look at this again correctly. We do ladder match, strap match, I quit, Donnybrook, fight pit, extreme rules.
Yes. And then, like, you can have, like, some kind of talking segment afterwards if you really want. Just put Sami Zayn out there.
Sure, I can see why the fight pit might be second.
Something to cool it down.
I think the fight pit shenanigans at the end will be able to cool down. Like, Cormier's getting physical. I think that's a guarantee. Between Cormier is going to get physical. But anyway, let's move on to this match here, the I quit match. I don't know how much time you give these guys. Like, Edge is a master in creating a match and making it really, really fucking good for no reason. Like, remember the quote-unquote greatest match of all time between him and Randy had no reason being that fucking good?
I do. It was like an hour.
Yeah. And you have Finn, who is on a pretty unreal run right now. He's finally getting comfortable being the leader of Damage Control. And I don't know what you do in this match. Like, anything goes in this match. Like, this can be fucking nuts. So, Kay Murphy, who wins this?
Honestly, I've been, like, trying to figure it out, and I keep... This is the one I've been, like, really flip-flopping with.
Yeah.
I can see them having Edge quit and then having his 20th return. Because, like, I realistically, like... But if Finn quits, they could use this... wait a minute. If Finn quits, Finn can come back as the DC.
Okay. It's not a loser leaves match. It's an I quit match.
Yeah, they don't quit the company.
Yeah. It's just that they just have to say I quit. They don't leave the company, Kay.
I don't know.
No, wait, hold on. You never know the difference between I quit and loser leaves?
Not always, no.
Oh, Mix Murphy.
Oh, rookie boy. Over here. Oh, you. Well,
everyone knows I'm the worst wrestling fan on the network. It's actually true. But I feel like Edge is not winning.
I agree.
You think? It's hard. I mean, do you really have Edge come back?
I mean, I quit matches are made for heels to lose, though. Like, name me a heel who's ever won, other than Roman, has ever won an I quit match.
The Rock.
Yeah, Mick Foley died, though. Mick Foley had his brain coming out of his ears.
And The Rock won by very nefarious means.
Yeah, it won by recording. So that goes
by recording.
It was like a dusty finish.
Yes. So yeah, I think it's hard for me because you have Damage Control, who seems to be on an upswing now, because they were treading water for a very, very long time, and they seem to finally be on an upswing. And do you kill that momentum just for the sake of Edge winning?
Finn needs to win.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I agree. Well, let's put it this way. If Vince was booking, it would be Edge. But Triple H is booking, so it's probably going to be Finn.
Yeah, I'm sick with my guns. I'm going to go Edge for sure. Will Scott Finn came
out? Who do you have?
Finn.
All right, let's move on to the other Extreme Rules match going on. We have a strap match here. We have one of Kay's former daddies in Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross and everybody who wants her to be their daddy in Scarlett in the background. In a strap match, and hopefully, even though we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, hopefully this is traditional strap match, not four corners bullshit that they have done before. And all things I see from SmackDown in the past weeks leads this to be a strap match where they just have a strap that connects each other and they still have to win by pinfall or submission. So, Will, what are your thoughts on this match?
I fucking hope so. And yeah, Drew McIntyre wins.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind, Drew McIntyre wins.
Cam Murphy?
True.
Here's the thing. We have been hinting at Kross for a very, very long time, and Kross has come back, and he's looked strong. This is Kross's biggest match. Like, he's had matches, he's had kind of these warm-up matches, and since if Kross was like the University of Alabama, he's having a lot of warm-up matches, but now you get your big test. This is your big test now. At a premium live event, they put you in a match, not a highlighted match, but a match nonetheless, at Extreme Rules, and I see nothing but the finish being Kross putting the cross jacket with a little bit of emphasis by using a strap around Drew's neck. And that's how Kross gets his big win and legitimizes himself as a major player on the SmackDown roster for the most part. I think Kross takes this.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of Karrion Kross. Never have been.
It's okay. I am a Scarlett fan through and through, and I get it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
As Kay Murphy puts on their invisibility cloak.
Seriously, it's Kay Murphy hanging out with John Cena right now. Kay Murphy.
Why'd you cut to that? What are you doing? Stop the shenanigans. Okay, great insight.
Oh my god, I can't wait to make that a TikTok clip later. Anyway, move on to the final match that we have. It's a six match card so far. Nothing on the pre-shows. I think they're really, really cutting down the pre-show. It's a six-match card, which means all of these matches are going to be really fucking long, which is good because you got to tell a story. Also, setup's going to take forever, too, for all of these matches as well. You have a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, which was just added. Six-man tag. Imperium featured the Intercontinental Champion, Gunther. With Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser versus the Brawling Brutes, Sheamus, the guy formerly known as Pete Dunne, and the fucking guy, I totally forgot his name, I'm totally drawing a blank on his name, the guy who injured Big E, also in there as
well. Fuck, what the hell is his name?
They were just on NXT last night, too, and I totally forgot.
The Brawling Brutes, Rich,
Ridge Holland. There we go.
Ridge Holland.
The Biggie murderer. I got you. Ridge Holland, the Biggie murderer. Going up. I mean, they're really playing off the fact that Gunther and Sheamus put on a hell of a match at Clash at the Castle.
They did.
I love how they both have their little cronies with them. And I mean, this has all the makings of something that could be absolutely apeshit insane.
Yeah, this could have been a bar fight.
This essentially is a bar fight.
Yeah.
It's what a Dynamic is, essentially a bar fight. And I think the Imperium's been getting their number a lot lately, and Imperium got their number last night on NXT when they kind of made a one-off appearance. But I think the Brawling Brutes take this. I don't care who wins this one because I like both groups. Ironically enough, the Brawling Brutes grew on me. I just need Pete Dunne to get his name back, to be honest with you. But I do think that the Brawling Brutes take this. Just as it's a fun gimmicky, ridiculous match. Just for this will pop the crowd for no fucking reason because it's in Philly.
Yeah, I don't really care for the teams individually, both teams that is, but them together, it works. I'm about it.
Like, this would have been a fantastic pre-show match.
Agreed.
But I don't think they're going to do it. I think they deserve a little main card action.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
especially because the IC title's floating around there.
Yeah, keep the IC title relevant. Bobby doesn't have a match, but Bobby's getting his match on Monday, which also leads me to believe that he's losing. He's not on this card. I think Bobby drops on Monday, but I think the Brawling Brutes take this. They get a little bit of one-up on Imperium. This is continuing. And honestly, I would love if the Upper War Games match was Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes, and they just have to add one more person on each side.
Jesus Christ, I think you're right. That'd be incredible. I mean, they could, because...
Yeah.
I don't see why. I mean, they won't, but they could.
I'm all for it. If we're going to do story-based War Games matches, what better story than Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes?
You know what you could do?
Oh, my God, Cam Raver, you're back from hanging out with John Cena.
John and I went to go get some macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
Hold on. You literally left the show to make Easy Mac?
No, I had leftovers from last night's dinner.
Continue.
But for story-based purposes, you could bring back Alexander Wolf and add him to him.
So who do you add to the Brawling Brutes?
Biggie.
I wasn't gonna say it.
We got a fella.
What would be interesting, and they won't do it. Call up Tyler Bate from NXT, depending on what happens and on NXT, but bring up Tyler Bate. That way you have Tyler Bate, you have Pete Dunne, and you have Walter in one match. They were all UK champions at one point.
I see your Tyler Bate. I raise you Ilya Dragunov.
I would also be happy with Ilya Dragunov.
Timothy Thatcher is a good one too, Mr. Fretz.
Thatcher? Yeah, that's just wishful thinking there, Freds. I think Ilya Dragunov works because he had those matches with Walter at the time, and those were ridiculous matches. So I think him having a gripe to try to finally beat Walter in some sort of capacity, or Gunther in some sort of capacity, makes a lot more storyline sense.
Gunther.
And I mean, looking at this photo of Gunther, like, I'm so glad he lost all that weight. Like, he still looks menacing.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, good for fucking him. But K-Murray, who do you have? Do you have the Brawling Brutes or do you have Imperium?
This is another one I'm flip-flopping with, but I'm, like, leaning slightly towards more Imperium.
I'm honestly happy that they gave Imperium their entrance back.
Thank God.
It is still, like, I can't wait for them to do an entrance at a WrestleMania. We're just blacked out in their silhouettes.
That entrance is made for Mania.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So that's all we have right now for our Extreme Rules card. It's only, six, like I said, six matches. You have a good old-fashioned Donnybrook, a strap match, an I Quit match, a ladder match, a fight pit match, and a traditional Extreme Rules match. Like I said, this is the most extreme that Extreme Rules has ever been. And that was probably the worst Extreme Rules match ever, where we had a freaking... we had the Dean Ambrose versus Jericho match. That was bad. The Asylum match, the Ambrose Asylum cage match.
Oh yeah, what a mess.
Yeah, the only thing that saved that pay per view was the AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns main event and the surprise return of Seth Rollins from his torn ACL. Only thing that saved that pay per view. But with that being said. And the potential of one of the three bus potentially going down to Philadelphia for this event. With everything on the line, how good is this premium live event or pay-per-view? How extreme will Extreme Rules get on a scale of 1 to 10 crowns? 10 being the highest, 1 being the least. Will Tereshock?
Yeah, I'm going to go pretty high. 8.5.
I can see that. K. Murphy?
I'm also giving an 8.5.
You said 8 or 8.5?
8.5, sorry.
8.5, okay. I'm gonna go nine. I'm gonna raise you guys a half. I'm gonna go 9. The only thing that could really bring this down, I think, because I honestly think all of these matches are gonna hit. I think the ladder match is gonna be great. I think the I Quit match is gonna be great. I think the fight pit is gonna deliver. Even Cormier is going to deliver as well. I think the Extreme Rules match is going to hit. The only match that I don't think might be hit or miss is the strap match. I think the strap match is a toss-up to see if this can be any good. But I think you have the makings right now of a really, really amazing card and, like I said, the most memorable Extreme Rules event that we've ever seen. I'm looking forward to it. And K. Murphy, I will spare you the details. I will not tell you anything since you will be in Salem looking at what shit.
I probably won't watch it until Monday.
Makes sense. Extreme Rules, remember, folks, is on Saturday night. Which, thank God.
Thank God is right, dude. The only thing I don't do on Saturday is getting a haircut, ordering a pizza, and watching Extreme Rules. That's my Saturday.
I am probably doing the same thing. I might nix the pizza and do Famous Dave's, depending on how I'm feeling.
Oh, dude.
I haven't had Famous Dave's.
Nice thing of ribs.
Yeah, literally. Their mac and cheese is unbelievable. But we'll see how I'm feeling that day.
I might do barbecue. There's this new barbecue place in Hoboken I really want to try.
Really, Fred, save that comment for the post show because we're going to talk about that little ditty. That's going to be a great thing. So
we're meeting Slack.
Yes, we'll talk about it on the post show.
Honey, smack in the face for me. Then give him a kiss.
Would be the first time one of our members slapped Slack, or he took wrestling chops from Nikki Skywalker. During SummerSlam one year.
How much could that have hurt? Come on now.
I don't know. This is before she was dating a wrestler. So, I don't know.
I hope she cut her nails.
I doubt that. Yeah, I would have kept them bitches sharp. Yeah. Would have kept them bitches so sharp. But that's all we have this week for wrestling, because Extreme Rules is really the only thing to talk about. Also, rest in peace, Antonio Inoki, and all of that fun stuff. So I'm ready to get out of here when you are, Will Tereshock. Are you ready?
Yeah, I got the outro queued up here somewhere. Yeah, let me press that button.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening or watching Kings of the Rings podcast episode number 311. It's always Extreme in Philadelphia, our Extreme Rules preview show. It's probably going to be the most extreme rules of all time. So make sure you're watching this Saturday to what is sure to be a memorable event. Of course, I am your host, King Ricky Rose. Find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets, BIGZ Ambassador Biggs. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Like, share, subscribe, leave us some 5-star reviews. It really helps us out with gaining followers and the algorithm, so we can provide you with some more or as much excellent content as we possibly can. If you're listening to us, make sure you're listening to us by subscribing to Wrestle Addict Radio wherever you listen to all of your awesome podcast content, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio's social medias at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else in the world. I'll be watching Extreme Rules. Maybe I'll do some live content from our TikToks. I've been thinking about that for a while. We'll probably do some fun stuff. I'm hoping for a good show. I hope to potentially be there last minute, because who knows? I might want to pull some shenanigans. But you'll have to find out next week when I tell you what happened. So we'll tear shot.
I would be going, but someone in my family has to get fucking married the weekend after. Which reminds me, Ricky, I gotta write my best man speech. Make sure I don't forget that. That's kind of important that I write my brother's best man speech. I won't be here next week, actually, because I'll be driving. I'll be driving up to the wedding.
You're writing your best man speech.
I'll be writing in traffic on 95. But I'll be back the following week, the 19th. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there. And then, Ricky, it's actually a good thing I didn't buy Survivor Series tickets, because I might be on a plane to Vegas again. So there's that. Kamer, how much money should I put on black?
I don't like gambling, so I would tell you none, but you're not going to listen to me.
I don't like gambling either, so I'm not going to. I'm going to listen to you.
I'm going to tell you to put $20 on black.
I think the minimum is usually 25, so I'll see how I do.
Put $25 on black. So what's going on with me? Oh, so I will be in Salem this weekend. So if y'all know of any fun things we should do in Salem, leave them in the comments.
Hopefully better for making a fucking broom.
I'm excited to make a broom.
I'm curious. Very fun. I want to see how that goes.
I will bring my broom on the show next week.
Hell yeah.
You're going to fly in?
I'm going to fly in next week, Ricky, on my broom and show you how I did. You can follow me across all social media platforms at TheKMurphy, T-H-E-K-A-E, Murphy. You can also follow my Teespring shop on Instagram at Euphoric Future Designs. We just added hoodies, pint glasses, and mugs to the shop. So
nice.
Some new designs. So check it out. Buy some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when we come back, folks, next week, we'll be writing his best man speech and won't be able to be on the show. Kay Murphy hopefully will be flying in on a broom, and maybe it might be a good time to bring on a special guest. Who knows what the future will bring, but we do know that the future is going to be extreme in just a couple of days. So until then, folks, we're going to get out of here. Enjoy Extreme Rules this Saturday. If you're watching us right now, make sure to stick around for the post show where we get into a bunch of other random shenanigans. But until then, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you next week after Extreme Rules. And fuck you, Slack.
Yeah, Slack, you fucking asshole.
Brett's gonna beat your ass.
And anyway. Kiss you. French kiss. You're Canadian, probably. You're French.
Speaking of which, happy Thanksgiving, Canada.
Midnight Music.